What is up, everyone? Welcome to our new show here on Family Hollywood Review. This show is called Movie Study. And on Movie Study, we are going to break down our favorite movies, maybe some that we actually hate too. We're going to break them down and we're going to go back and we're going to review them. We're going to talk about them. We're going to share our thoughts on it. So I thought, what better way to start this new series than by doing a three-part special on The Lord of the Rings? So today, we're going to do The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. So guys, sit back, enjoy. My name is Jonathan. I am your host. And let's get into The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. So I wanted to start out by saying that The Lord of the Rings for me is a very special movie. And honestly, I don't even consider it a movie. I consider it a life event. I consider it a special event, something that you should probably watch once a year. Don't always get the chance to watch it once a year, but you know, it's just something that I've very much have worn out the Blu-rays and the DVDs of what I have. And now I have them on digital. I have all three on digital. I have three different versions of the film. And by versions, I mean they're all extended, but one's Blu-ray, one's that, and then one's digital. Or DVD, I mean. And so, to me, this trilogy came at a important time in my life. I was transitioning from teenager to adult. Well, you know, it was in there. I was in my sophomore year in high school, and I had never seen anything like this before. You know, my parents or my mom would not allow us to watch anything that had to do with magic or spells or anything that, you know, seemed like it was demonic. And after some research, we found out that Professor Tolkien was actually a Christian, was a practicing Christian of the faith. And so that allowed for my mother to be like, okay, you guys can go ahead and watch this. So I will never forget it. It'll always be in my mind and in my heart, the very first time that I saw The Fellowship of the Ring. And I could not tell you what day it was. I can't go back that far. But I know it was a Friday night. And my brother-in-law and sister had come over because, okay, we're going to all watch this together. We're going to see this movie together. And we had one of those old classic big screen TVs at the house, you know, the ones with like the tubes and the red, white, or the red, green, and blue in the back. And that thing was so old. It was really ridiculous. It was starting to lose like the color at the top by the end of it. But I'll never forget it because we sat down and we watched it. And I had never in my life been transported to a world and been taken to this world where I didn't know what was coming next. You know, I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if Frodo was going to survive. I didn't know where they were going to end up. I just didn't know how it was going to end, you know, and I didn't know anything about the series. I just didn't. I thought that maybe the whole thing about the ring would get resolved by the end of the first one. Little did I know. And, you know, I didn't know who the Lord of the Rings was, you know, and It's so funny going back and watching it then and knowing everything that I know now, because I am very deep in the lore of Lord of the Rings. I have done a lot of studying, read the books, you know, all the stuff, companion books, all this kind of things that I've studied and delved into. And very reminiscent of Gandalf going to Gondor and the Fellowship. where he's researching about the ring. That's how I felt when I was starting to, really get into this and to understand. But anyway, to finish up the story, I had watched it and I remember being frightened. I didn't know who Gollum was. I didn't know what that was about. And I felt like, oh man, like this is going to be evil. This is creepy. I don't know what this Gollum character is. And it's like a demon looking thing. Like, this is going to be creepy. It's going to be weird. And I by the end of it, I was like, oh wow, like this is cool. Now I need to know what happens next. Luckily, the Two Towers had just come out like a month or two before that. So I was able to rent that and watch the Two Towers. But we'll get into the Two Towers at another time. So I just wanted to kind of start by giving my background and how I got into it, how I started to understand. And once that happened, once I had seen the film, the first two, because The Return of the King had not come out yet at that point. And we'll get into that once we get to part three. But I picked up the books and I started reading and I started loving it. And I'm like, it was like everything in my whole life had changed, because I was not a great student at school. I was the kind that I was like, I did enough just to get by, just to finish school, you know? And so when this came out and I was intrigued and I actually wanted to read, I actually wanted to know like what was going on and who are these people and what is this incident with the dragon that Gandalf was talking about? You know, I just felt like there was so much to it and that I had to learn and I had to understand, and I wouldn't be able to be satisfied until I actually knew, you know what I mean? And that brought me to that point to where I started growing in my mind and I started growing in film production. You know, you guys know that that I direct short films and working on a major production now. But, you know, it led me to that point to where I wanted to, with the behind the scenes and everything that Peter Jackson put into this and gave. It inspired me and it helped me to become the man that I am today, if that makes sense. Now, I am a man of faith. I believe that in Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus has shaped me into the man that I am. But this series, these things that I've run into with the Lord of the Rings has definitely helped me in so many situations, dealing with loss and death, dealing with just everyday life and being brave about things. And, you know, I always go back to it and people make fun of me all the time, you know, my family and friends, and they're like, oh, Lord of the Rings, Lord of the Rings, Lord of the Rings. That's your thing. And it's like, it goes, Jonathan and Jesus go together, and Jonathan and Lord of the Rings go together. So those are like the two things that I'm associated with like the most, and film, of course. But I appreciate these films probably more than the usual person. I mean, I know I do. And they will always have a special place in my heart, no matter what. And before we actually get into the study of the movie, I just wanted to say that these movies are so special to me even more now, because my brother, who passed away last year, this was something that we shared together in our love for these films. And the weekend before he passed away, we had a chance to sit down and do our annual viewing of the films. And it was something that we normally like didn't have time to do. And we cooked steaks, you know. I think we may have done it 2 days in a row because we took 2 days to watch it. And, you know, we had a good time together as brothers before he went home to the white shores of heaven, to sit down and to watch these films one last time. And so not only is it special to me from when I was growing up, but now it's something that is special to me as an adult and something I can also pass on to my children and to show them someday. And it has a more significant meaning to me now. But glad I got to do that. And so, like, these films are not just normal films to me. This is a event. This is something that if you don't get it, that's fine. If you don't understand it, that's fine. But even the people that I've talked to that don't necessarily like the movies have always said, like, dang, it is so deep. And it really is. It really is. So with all that out of the way, I've been rambling for just a little while about what it means to me. I'll do that more along this series, but I wanted to really get into The Fellowship of the Ring and break this movie down. So there are so many themes throughout this movie that just are just beautiful. And you start off in this film, and it depends which version you're watching, but we're going to go along the extended edition version. So if you guys have not seen the extended editions, then I recommend that you stop listening to me ramble, and then you put them in or you rent them. I don't know if you can rent them or not, but look, they're probably about $60 or so to buy them. Just buy them. They're so worth it. And I can't say enough. That's the only version that I watch now. I just kind of like scoff at the theatrical version. I guess I shouldn't, because that's the ones that I fell in love with originally. But now there's just so much more to that. So you start out with this guy, this old man, and you don't know, you know, exactly what he's been through unless you've read the book. And he has this nephew, and he's a boy that is a pure heart. And he, you can just tell, just the look on Elijah Wood's face conveys purity. And you don't know what you're going to get into. There's drinking, and there's fun being had. And there's all these positive things, and it's very, you know, foreboding. And it's just like, here's all these happy hobbits that are living here, and they're having fun and they're enjoying themselves. And we go to Bilbo's birthday party, and Bilbo unexpectedly disappears, and he puts the ring on, and whew, he's gone, you know. And so it builds up to this moment of, okay, like, there's just mystery to it, and there's just this feeling of, okay, what the heck is going on? So he puts the thing on, and he disappears, and he can deceive people. And then one of the key elements of the film, I believe it's one of the most important, creeps its way into the film, and that is the fact that Bilbo does not want to let go of the ring. What does that mean for the story? This means for the story that there is something obsessive about this one little thing that was forged in the fires. And one little thing about this gold little thing. And why is Bilbo acting so crazy about this? Why is he yelling at Gandalf and saying, you know, you just want it for yourself? And it just shows you that the possession of this and the power of the ring starts to creep into this film. So, moving forward, Frodo comes in and Gandalf says, take this, keep it secret, keep it safe. takes off and goes to research what's going on, as we mentioned earlier. And then he says, okay, well, only, you know, you can tell by red flame, you know. And he goes back, throws the ring into the fire, and it's just so cool how it's done. There's nothing that appears on the ring at first. And then, boom, it appears on the ring, the writing, one ring to rule them all, in black speech. And then, as the audience, you are like, oh, crap. And then the movie just takes off from there. And it's this whole thing of, oh, okay, you go here, you go to Bree, you take Sam with you, and be careful, don't go on the main road. There's all this stuff that's going on. You have these creatures in black. You don't know who they are. Hooded black creatures that are coming after Frodo and Sam. And it's like, what is going on here? Why is this happening? And they run down and they get to Buckleberry Ferry, one of my favorite lines of the whole film. And they cross over and they're okay, it seems. And it's 20 miles to the nearest crossing, right? So they have some time to get over. So they have to, you know, get going, get moving. And then they arrive to Bree. And in Bree, it is just a kind of dirty town. A lot of mud, a lot of slop around. And a lot of crazy looking people in Bree. And they arrive in there and they're talking, you know, amongst themselves. And, you know, you have to think from a perspective of someone in real life. If you have these people chasing after you, you go into this place, you're looking for Gandalf, he's not there, and then you just sit around waiting on him. And then the famous scene of Frodo falling and the ring coming onto his finger, and then he sees the world as it's supposed to be with the ring on for the first time. And as he's looking through all this, he just notices, like, there's this creepy stuff going on. And what is this? What is this eye? What is this thing? And the way I'm trying to tell this story is I'm trying to tell this as if someone never saw this movie before. So that's why I'm going through this. But we'll get into this a little bit more. But then the king arrives. As the king is sitting in the corner, you're like, who is this creature? Who is that man? As they say in the film, and that's Strider. And as we know him, Aragorn sits in the corner, and then he sees what's going on. And one of my favorite lines the whole time, he picks up Frodo after the ring's on, and he throws him into the room and says, a little more caution from you. That is no trinket you carry. Frodo says, I carry nothing. Aragorn says, indeed. As he walks to the corner, he says, I can avoid being seen if I wish, but to disappear entirely, that is a rare gift. And then we get to one of the coolest scenes of the film. I mean, there's so many cool scenes in this film, of course. But they trick the Black Riders. And they make them think that they're all the hobbits are laying in the bed together, and in their separate beds, I'm sorry. And they think they're in there, and they come in and they stab them, and it's nothing but just feathers and empty beds with no one in there. And then across the street are the hobbits and Aragorn, and they're looking out the window and they see what's happened. And then Aragorn proceeds to tell them they are the Nazgul. Neither living or dead. And at this moment, you're like, okay, who are these creepy dead guys? They must be servants of the guy and the one with the eye. And you continue on as we go through all these things. And you move forward to them back on the road. And it's getting to where they need to be. And here they come. And Frodo and Sam and the gang have made it to Weathertop. And on Weathertop, the Black Riders catch up with him. And they stab Frodo because they try to take the ring from him. And they stab him. And now they have to rush him to Rivendell with Arwen. It depends what version, whether book or movie. If anybody can drop down in the comment section of this podcast or YouTube video and tell me who is the one in the book that takes Frodo to Rivendell, I'm going to enter you in for a drawing. And we're going to do something with that very soon. We're working on this now. But going into this aspect, and guys, look, I'm so sorry. In the background is my husky, Ray. And she is very upset that Daddy is not in there with her right now. And I apologize if this is distracting for you guys. We're working on this. I'm up really early recording this, by the way. So they get to Rivendell. And they Arwen takes Frodo to Rivendell. All these things are happening. And I guess what I was trying to get to is to get into this part of the film is this is where the restoration happens. This is where the biggest part happens. And they're chilling in Rivendell for a while, and they're sitting there talking amongst themselves. And then here comes this whole ordeal about what is this whole thing that is going on. And Gandalf has obviously been talking to Elrond, who is Arwen's father, and they're trying to make a plan of what can we do. And Elrond says that this thing must be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed by something that you possess here. And this moment is just a moment. There's so many good memes that come out of this moment where Sean Bean's character Boromir shows up. And as they are talking about the ring, he says, "You know, this is a rare gift." And everyone's looking at him like he's insane because from his perspective, he sees it as a chance for Gondor to take over and to be powerful and defeat Sauron. But we all know that that's not going to happen, and that's not even close to what is going to happen. So at this point, you know, Gandalf has to speak some wisdom into this situation, and he speaks black speech, and everyone is like just offended by it because it's terrible. It's the equivalent of getting cussed out, you know, maybe, I don't know, but it's just terrible. And there's fighting amongst themselves about who's going to take this ring. And the one pure-hearted kid, well, he's not really a kid, but one pure-hearted person stands up and says, "I will take it." And that is Frodo. And at this moment, you know this look on Gandalf's face like, no, like, please don't. And he knows also that Frodo is the only one that can do this task. That Frodo is the only one that has enough of a pure heart that he can do this. And so the council agrees. And then, of course, Aragorn joins Legolas, Boromir, Merry, Pippin, Sam, Gandalf, and Gimli, and they become the Fellowship of the Ring. And what makes this movie so great and the book so great is that this camaraderie between the nine. And they have nine to match the nine ring wraiths and all that kind of stuff. And I think where we go with this movie is we talk about the themes that are in the film and where we're going to go with this and how everything is going to lay out. And then everything just kind of like puts the pedal to the metal at this point, because now it's going to get crazy. Now the plan is out. Now you have to make it to Mordor. You have to make it to Mount Doom. You have to drop this ring in to Mount Doom for it to be destroyed. And there's so many things that come along with this. And so they head out and they get going and they try to go through the mountain and they can't because Saruman is up on the top of the tower, and he's speaking spells over top of that of the mountain, and he's causing crazy weather and avalanches and stuff like that. So they have to turn around, and then they have to go into the mines of Moria. They make it to the mines of Moria. They go through this whole mine. It's creepy. It's just quiet. And Gollum is following them the whole time. And they get to this point, and they get into this room where Balin has laid. And Balin is in The Hobbit, if you don't know that. One of the main characters in the movie of The Hobbit. And they get to his tomb, and there he lays, and Gimli's so sad. And then all of a sudden, here comes all these orcs and a troll, and they attack them. They break everything out, you know, they kill the troll, and they've seemingly won. And then they realize that here comes more orcs, and they get running, heading down the corridor. And then this loud sound comes out. And one of my favorite lines of the whole trilogy, Boromir leans over to Gandalf and says, "What is this new devilry?" Well, it literally is about Satan. That is the equivalent of what this creature is. And he says, it's a demon of the ancient world, a Balrog. And as they keep going, he tells them to run, get going. They come down to all these stairs, and all these steps are going down, and there's a big gap, and they have to throw each other across the steps to get down. They get down at the bottom of the steps after, of course, Gimli says nobody tosses a dwarf. They grab him by his beard, and there he is slipping off. It's just hilarious. And they get to the bottom of the steps. They all run across, and then the Balrog appears. And if you don't know what the Balrog looks like, you should look it up. Hopefully you know if you're diving into this study with us. But he comes across, and there he is. And Gandalf turns around and says, "You cannot pass. I am a servant of the secret fire, wielder of the flame of Arnor." And then they start to battle. And Gandalf's like in this force field thing as the Balrog's whip comes down to hit him, and then he keeps doing it, and then Gandalf says, "You shall not pass," throws his staff down, and the floor underneath the Balrog comes undone, and the Balrog starts to fall. But at the last minute, the whip of the Balrog wraps around Gandalf's leg and pulls him to the edge, and Gandalf is hanging off the side of this ledge. And he looks at Frodo, and Frodo is screaming, "Gandalf, no!" And he says, "Fly, you fools." And he lets go. And one of the most emotional moments of the film happens as the beautiful music by Howard Shore starts to play. This sense of loss and death and grief comes into the film. And it comes into the film so strongly. And they're out on the outskirts of Moria, and where a great battle was fought years before that. And they are sitting there in their grief, and Aragorn puts his stuff together, and he starts picking people up. And Boromir says, "Give them a moment for pity's sake." And Aragorn says, "By nightfall, these hills will be swarming with orcs." And at this time, everyone is emotional, and he keeps calling out for Frodo, and Frodo isn't listening. Frodo keeps walking, and he finally like yells out one more time, "Frodo!" And Frodo turns around, and the look on Frodo's face is that of deep loss and deep grief. And the performance by Elijah Wood in that, I think, says a lot of just, I think that's probably one of the most underrated moments of his acting in this trilogy. And, you know, a lot of people say that Sean Astin is the star of, you know, his acting. And while I have to agree with half of that, Elijah Wood is just as much the star as how great his acting is. And then you take this moment and this deep grief, and you got to keep moving. And they move to the borders of Lothlorien. And as they're coming in, you know, they're stopped by Haldir. And Haldir is basically questioning them, and he says that, you know, Frodo has something evil, and he cannot go any further. And at this point, Aragorn is trying to bargain with him, you know, like, hey, look, you know, he's got to go in. He's with us. You know, all these things are just kind of going into his mind and emotions, I'm sure, at this point. And Frodo feels this loss and this steepness, and he feels like he's such a burden to everyone. And they go into Lothlorien, and they are trying to rest. And you know, to me, it's like one of the most peaceful scenes ever, because the borders are well protected, as they say. And you can just sit there and sleep in peace and not have to worry about these ringwraiths coming after you or these orcs coming after you at this point. And it's just this moment of connection between the characters and the connection between Boromir and Frodo, and how he, you know, Boromir tells him, you know, not to bear this grief and to not live with it. And then the next day they get up and they are taken to the Lady Galadriel and Lord Celeborn. And Celeborn asks, "Where is Gandalf? For I much desire to speak with him." And no one wants to answer. And Legolas says, "He fell into shadow and flame, a Balrog of Morgoth." And at this point, you know, who's Morgoth? We don't know who Morgoth is. And if you guys don't know who Morgoth is going into the study, I know we've been talking about what happens into the film, and Morgoth is Sauron's boss, basically, to put it simple. And Morgoth has been gone for a long time because he was cursed and thrown out into nothingness. So these creatures are still around from the time of Morgoth. And there's just this grief and this, it's done so well. You know, I really think that Peter Jackson, Fran, and Philippa went through some real grief in their life to be able to get this right, because it is in the book, you know, and the grief is there, but I guess that is to attest to Professor Tolkien at the end of the day, that the grief that he went through with losing his mother to get this right, because like I have mentioned, you know, the people that I've lost in my life, the grief is definitely there. And so moving on, they spend the night there with them, and in the middle of the night, Frodo wakes up and he approaches, and Galadriel's there, and she's kind of leading the way for him. And so she asks Frodo if he's going to look into the mirror there. And Frodo says, "Well, what will I see?" And she says, "Not even the wisest could tell you that. You might see things that were, things that are, and some things that may have not yet come to pass." So Frodo looks into it. He sees this stuff. He sees the destruction of the Shire. And he sees the great eye. And the ring starts to come out from him. He grabs it. He falls back. And she's like, "I know what it is that you saw." And then, you know, they start speaking to each other telepathically. And Frodo offers her the ring. And so she says, "You would offer it to me freely." And in this moment, Galadriel says, "Well, in place of a Dark Lord, you would have a queen." And it's this moment of just craziness of Galadriel turning like psycho, it seems like, at this moment. But I believe it's like a reflection of what she would be if she did this. And she would be terrible as the Dawn, as she says. And she lets go and she says, "I pass the test. I will diminish, and I will go into the West and remain Galadriel." And one of the things about this, I get so emotional talking about this movie because it's just, there's so many good moments in here. There's so many encouraging things for someone. And you can even take these things literal in your own life and apply them. I have. And it's just so many good things. And she tells him to be a ring bearer is to be alone. And she shows her ring to him, and she is the keeper of that ring. And Frodo says, I know what I have to do. I'm just afraid to do it. And she says the famous line, even the smallest person can change the course of the future. And at this point, Frodo, you know, puts the ring away and he goes in. And then the next day, they're bidding them farewell. And one of my favorite moments is this moment between Aragorn and Galadriel, and they're talking about Arwen, and, you know, he says, you know, I would have her leave and go to the Undying Lands. And he's, you know, Galadriel says, well, you know, that choice is yet before her, and we will not meet again, Elisar. And that's one of my favorite. There's so, I can't pick what my favorite moment of this movie is, because there's so many. And the Fellowship to me is, Return of the King is emotional, but the Fellowship of the Ring is I just so emotional, and everything that just happens in this film. And we move on, and they get their gifts, and we could go through all the gifts that they receive. Like Gimli gets the three pieces of Galadriel's hair, and Legolas gets a new bow, and Aragorn, you know, of course, you know, he gets that little, the cool knife that I've always wanted, and someday I hope to have. I actually have Sting and Anduril hanging up in my office right now. I want that knife so bad. Then they, of course, get to Frodo. And, let me back up, because Merry and Pippin get their daggers. And then Sam gets the elven rope, and we'll get into that in our Two Towers discussion. And then to Frodo, Galadriel gives the light of Elendil, their most beloved star. May it be a light for you in dark places when all other lights go out. Now, we're going to save this because we're going to get more into this later as we progress. But this moment here is one of my favorite moments of the whole trilogy, and because it ties into the whole trilogy. And this moment to me is just as important as any of the big plot points because of what happens later with this light of Elendil. And we'll get into that in Return of the King. I'll save that story for you guys when we get into Return of the King. But overall, we get to this point in our study here. And as we move on, we're going to talk about how they leave Lothlorien. They're on the river. They get on the side, and Gollum's following them. They see Aragorn and Boromir have this conversation about how, you know, we can take the ring to Gondor, and Aragorn says, I would not take the ring within 100 leagues of your city. And then they get in this moment, and then Boromir lashes back at him and says, you're afraid of who you are and what you are. And they just have this moment, and it's a beautiful moment. You know, it's just two brothers, you know, having a discussion and being kind of mad at each other. And at this point, they move on, and they keep traveling, and then they get to the borders of Amon Hen. And at this point, one of my favorite comedy moments of the film, and he says, stay here and recover your strength, Master Dwarf. And he says, recover my strength. And it's just like the most, you know, like offensive thing to Gimli that he can say. And there's this moment where they just look around, and there's, like I said, there's so many good moments. And Legolas says, we need to move. And Aragorn says, no, we wait till the cover of nightfall, and the orcs on the eastern border, you know, aren't around as much at that point. And he says, Legolas says, it's not the eastern border that worries me. A shadow under threat has been growing in my mind. And we know as the audience that the Uruk-hai are on their way. And we didn't really cover the Uruk-hai, so let's go back and cover the Uruk-hai before we move forward, because we're almost at the end of this thing. The Uruk-hai, Saruman has bred these, and he has sent out his army to track down Frodo and to bring the ring. So this is the whole point of the antagonist here in the movie, and is led by the general Lurtz. And Lurtz is awesome. Lurtz is probably my favorite orc in the whole film trilogy. I just love him, and I think he's scary. I think he's psycho. He's awesome. And so we get to this point, and now that we've covered the Uruk-hai, we may later just have a whole discussion upon the evil side of what was going on the evil side. But I'm trying to get through these as quickly as possible because there's so much to cover. And we're at 42 minutes right now. But going on and talking about this, there's this moment of, where's Boromir? Where did he go? Okay, well, where's Frodo? Where's he at? And then cuts to them picking up sticks on the side in the forest somewhere. And the famous section of this, and where Boromir tries to take the ring from Frodo. And if you would just but lend me the ring, he says, you are not yourself. And Boromir tries to take the ring from Frodo. Of course, Frodo puts on the ring and kicks Boromir in the face and takes off running. And Boromir knows at this moment what he has done. And this is where I wanted to spend a little bit of time, because in life, there are mistakes that you make. And sometimes you get so focused on what you want at that moment, what's important to you, that you don't think about other people and how you treat other people. And at this moment, he knew he hurt Frodo. He knew that he had done wrong. And immediately says, Frodo, I'm sorry, and takes off. And he runs up the hill, and he finds an old relic that's from the past and from the Second Age, I believe. And he runs up there and he hides there and he keeps the ring on, and boom, he sees the eye. He falls down, da-doom. And then there is this loud noise, and it's Aragorn. And Frodo is very frightened of him at this moment. And as he's frightened, you know, he has every right to be. And he says, well, Frodo says, would you destroy it? And then it is like this whole moment of where it looks like Aragorn may, you know, take the ring, and he folds it back up and hands it to Frodo. And he says, I would have gone with you to the end, into the very fires of Mordor. And at this point, you know, of course, Frodo is like, I know. Look after Sam. He won't understand. And as they're sitting there, he looks down and he sees that the sword Sting is glowing blue. And we didn't cover that, and I'm sorry, but that is the sword that Bilbo had, and he gave over to Frodo. A very huge key piece of this movie, and I left it out, and I'm sorry. So now I'm covering it now. So let's go back and let's talk about Sting, the origins of Sting, where Sting comes from. And of course, Bilbo found it in a goblin or a troll cave on their way in the Hobbit story. And while they're in Rivendell, Bilbo gives it to Frodo and says, you know, it glows blue when orcs are close. So this moment, going back to the fellowship, later on, where we're just picking up, the sword starts glowing blue, and Aragorn says, Frodo, go. And this big fight starts, and Aragorn comes around the corner, and there's all these orcs, and everything's going crazy. And everyone's fighting. And, of course, Merry and Pippin are by themselves. And lo and behold, here comes Boromir to save the day. He starts trying to fight off the orcs. And then Lurtz appears and he pierces him with an arrow. And two arrows. And then, finally, the third arrow, which destroys his horn of Gondor. And Aragorn shows up too late and he fights off Lurtz, and it's one of my favorite fights. And he stabs Lurtz in the stomach, and Lurtz pulls the sword towards him, like, you know, like, oh yeah, like in this moment, like, you can't do nothing. And Aragorn cuts his head off, and then he dies. And of course, the famous scene of Aragorn rushing to Boromir's side. And immediately when he runs to his side, he tells him, you know, they took the little ones. And he immediately starts asking Frodo, where's Frodo? And of course, Aragorn's like, I let Frodo go. And Boromir says, well, then you did what I could not. And at this point, you know, Boromir starts to fade. And his eyes are just getting glossed over. You know, there's not much life left in him. And Aragorn tells him, no, you fought bravely. You've kept your honor. And Boromir has, which debatedly, I guess, in my mind, Boromir has one of the, maybe my favorite line in the whole trilogy. And I didn't take time to look back in the book. So someone please tell me if I'm wrong. I don't know if this line is in the book, but Boromir says to Aragorn after they have a discussion about how Aragorn says, you know, I will not let our people fail. And he says, our people. And Boromir says to him, I would have followed you, my brother, my captain, my king. And then Boromir passes to the White Shores after this. And this moment of grief upon the faces of Aragorn and Legolas and Gimli, unbeknownst to, of course, Frodo and Sam and Merry and Pippin, that Boromir's gone. And there's this moment where Aragorn says, after, you know, he's prepared him for burial and to put him in the boat, and you know, then he takes his Gondorian bracers and he puts them on, and he says they'll be looking for him from the White Tower, but he won't return. And of course they send him off to down the river in the boat, and that's the end of that. But Frodo and Sam, of course, have a moment that comes up, intercut with this. And there's a moment where I think is my favorite Frodo moment of the trilogy. And Frodo is standing on the edge of the bank of the river, and he's just looking out. And he's thinking back to Moria. And I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened. And he has a tear running down his face. And Gandalf says, so do all who live to see such times. But not, this is not for you to decide. And this moment, Frodo says, okay, it's time to go. It's time to do this. And as he starts to go, he starts pushing off. Sam comes running out at the last minute and says, Frodo, don't go, Frodo. And Sam says, or Frodo says that he's going on this alone. And Sam, of course, says, of course you are, and I'm going with you. And there's this beautiful moment of Sam trying to get to Frodo and the friendship that is there. And Sam tries to get to him, and he can't swim, obviously, because Frodo says so. And he goes into the river, and he goes to the bottom of the river. And Frodo reaches his hand into the river and grabs Sam, and beautiful shot, and pulls him up. And Sam says, I made a promise, Mr. Frodo. And And the promise that he made to Gandalf is, don't you leave him, Samwise Gamgee. And he says, I don't mean to. They share a hug and they move to the other side. And coming back on to Aragorn, Aragorn says, we will not allow Merry and Pippin to torment in death. And this is like this moment of well, backing up to that, you know, Gimli says, you know, what's the point? You know, the fellowship has failed. And Aragorn says, not if we hold true to each other. We will not allow Merry and Pippin to torment in death. We travel light. Let's hunt some orc. And just a great line. Just so much emotion through that. And as they take off to pursue Merry and Pippin and to rescue them, it cuts back to Frodo and Sam, and they're walking to the edge of Imin Muil'dil. And Frodo looks back and says, I'm glad you're with me, Sam. And a couple of other things. And then the film ends. And then Enya's beautiful voice comes over and starts singing May It Be in the credits. And it's just a beautiful ending to the first film. And it leaves so much emotion and there's so much excitement going into the next film. And you're just like, man, like, this is sad, but this is so cool because they're going to keep going and try to accomplish this goal of, you know, of destroying the ring. And there's so much behind it. There's so much going on. And now, you know, into the next film, they're making their way through this maze, Frodo and Sam. And then, you know, Aragorn, Legolas and Gimli are on their way to rescue Merry and Pippin. And things just pick up from there. So here soon, we are going to release the Two Towers movie study. And we will be continuing our journey and talking about that film. I'm really excited to talk about that movie. And just overall, once again, these movies mean the world to me. The emotional part of it, just sitting here talking to you guys, has made me emotional, just reminiscing and going back and talking about this movie. But it's great. The film is great. It's among my favorite, of course, of the trilogy. It's not my favorite of the trilogy, but it's number two. And we'll get to my favorite of the trilogy once we get there. But guys, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. We spent about an hour here. That's what I planned on. We're going to spend about the same on the other two films, maybe even longer on Return of the King. But we'll get there. We'll talk about it. But guys, thank you for joining us for this first episode of Family Hollywood Review Movie Study. And we're going to keep doing these. Throw me some ideas of what you want us to do a movie study on. And we'll sit here and we'll do the same thing. So anyway, guys, thank you for joining me on this first episode. God bless you. We will see you on the live stream on tomorrow night, actually. By the time you're hearing it, it'll be tomorrow night. So God bless you. We'll talk to you later.